I also talked about Reds and a few rules about building Reds and the rule Armored Penguins uses for noobs who may be interested in using a Red weapon. You cannot pick one up unless Red Squad teaches you and you've been fighting for at least more than a couple months. I think the general consensus is that. Today, I have two guests on the show. I have Pip and I have Cord. Hey guys.
Hi.
So, introduce yourself. Pip.
Hi everybody, my name is Mateo Crafso. I am a senior business major here at Dominican University of California with a leadership minor. I fight with everything.
Yep, that's pretty much correct. Pip also does a bit of archery. She arched at Fool's Road and she was kicking ass.
Taking names.
Kicking butt. Very, very well. Someone walked away with a fletching scar or wound, but it wasn't too bad.
I did get thanked for shooting someone in the face. That was a first.
That generally people do not like getting hit in the face.
No, it was his first day, and I had been teaching him some sword work, and then for a field fight, I picked up a bow, and I ended up shooting him square in the nose while he wasn't looking. Came up after that round, gave me back the arrow, and said thank you for shooting me in the face, and walked away.
People are interesting.
They are. For those who don't know, Pip, or Kayla, is our club president, and Cord, or Mateo, is our realm leader.
And founder, I'm just going to throw that in there.
started out with only two people.
I started with 45. Then we ended up at two by the end of the semester.
You deserve the right to say founder of Armored Penguins.
Yeah, he did a lot of work, and then I showed up.
Okay, so Pip, starting with you, how did you get started with Armored Penguins?
So, during orientation, I was really nervous because I am one who enjoys nerdy sorts of activities like D&D. And I met this guy during Playfair, which is a giant icebreaker that we do. And we were supposed to tell the other person one thing that we're scared about. And I told this random guy that I was really scared that I was going to be the nerdiest person there. And that turned out to be Mateo.
Don't worry about it. There's no way you can be nerdier than me.
Yeah, you started the fighting club in the first place. I became his best friend, and all of his best friends get at least put a sword in their hand at least once. So, I stayed.
Yeah, it was very useful too, because she's very good at convincing people to do things. It's the secrets. If you want a lot of people in your club, get a pretty girl to sell it.
Pip is very good at reeling in those club members. So, Cord, how did you get started with Belagarth?
Oh dear.
It was a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away.
A galaxy wasn't so far away, but it was a while ago. So I started fighting in 2010. Yeah, I found it in late 2009, started fighting in 2010, 2 weeks after my 16th birthday, because you weren't allowed to fight until you were 16. So I found it when I was 15, and was just waiting. And I ended up driving all the way down to Sunnyvale from Santa Rosa, Sebastopol.
How far is that, time-wise?
It's about 2 hours
Wow.
For my very first practice, and I got stabbed a bunch, and it hurt. And yet, I came back. And so I went home, made a few weapons, and the rest is history.
Coming back, people in Belagarth really do kind of like their pain.
Not necessarily.
No.
I actually hate pain. Nor do I like inflicting pain. That being said, I view it as a game. It's much like paintball. It hurts a little, but you're not doing it for the pain. You're doing it because you like the game. And the same with Belagarth. There are people who like the pain a lot, and there are people who maybe like to inflict it, but they're using padded weapons and normally are not terrible people. But I wouldn't say that's the big selling point.
No, definitely not.
I would say it's the camaraderie.
And the fact that you get to sword fight.
Mm-hmm.
Like, actually sword fight.
If you ever want to be in Lord of the Rings, come join Belagarth.
That's true.
We have the battle for the ring, guys. Come on.
Well, more than that, a lot of our fighters are stunt doubles. We have Navy SEALs. We have Marines. We have the real deal swinging foam at each other. It's kind of cool.
Stunt doubles? Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
There was a guy back when I first started fighting named, I want to say Mordecai, but it's not at all. And he was part of this unit called the Kudagiri, which was a Mongolian unit. And he had a spear. This was, you know, 2012 at the absolute latest. He had a spear with a spring in it. And so he'd stab people and it would spring back and then he could stab them again. So his stabs were super, super fast. And he was an LA Hollywood technician.
Nice.
Very interesting.
Now we do have a few costume designers involved who do make garb for people. So that's a pretty interesting, really cool.
Really, really.
Plug, cut and kill.
It's not actually, I mean, it's kind of a thing. So hi, I'm Pip. I make garb. I started sewing when I was little, and then one day I showed up at this Belagarth thing, and then they told me that they were going to go down by my house to film an episode for TV, and that in order to be in this TV episode, I needed to have a costume like them. And I was like, okay, I guess I'll make one. And they were like, you can sew? All right,
that
do that.
That is when you started making garb.
Yep, that's exactly.
Why did we ever take you there?
Yeah, no, that was a horrible idea. And now it started with me just making garb for myself because I didn't have any and I wanted to fight on the field. It then turned into me making garb for everyone else because they realized that I could sew.
And she does it really well.
She really does.
I try my best.
It's pretty amazing. I'm kind of jealous because I cannot sew for the life of me, and when I tried making my tunic, Mowgli got really pissed off and just took it from me and sewed the whole thing.
See, but that's how you get better, because yeah. You see other people doing it.
Or my method, which is take your mistakes and make them look cool.
That's how you make monster garb?
That's one way.
One way.
It's not your method.
No.
It's definitely my method.
Yeah.
That was a shout out to Mowgli. I love you. I'm sorry for calling you out like that.
It's okay.
I do it on a regular basis. But yeah, the tunic turned out pretty okay. The sleeves.
It looks really good, to be fair.
The sleeves were a nightmare to figure out because I didn't do the measurements for them at first for the arms, and it messed up the patterns. It was giving us a really weird shape, and we're just like, what the hell is happening?
So you need to understand that my first tunic was an utter disaster. I messed up the neck hole horribly. I could never get it my shoulders through it because I didn't have gussets in it. I learned so much from that of what not to do.
Also, on a serious note, you don't need patterns. You really don't. They're hugely useful, and it makes you take significantly less
time.
Says
the goblin.
It's true. I don't use patterns. My garb looks okay. I have help.
Hi. But yeah, the entirety of Cut and Kill started by... It was actually Red Squad saying, hey, can you make rat pants?
So wait a second. What is Cut and Kill exactly? There we go.
So Cut and Kill is, hi, I'm Pip. I sew garb. I sew garb for other people. I'm starting to take more and more commissions. And as such, I'm starting a Facebook page and more or less a business where I make garb for people. And it's awesome. And so Cut and Kill is the name of that.
Nice. That's awesome. Now, if you're good at something, at least try to capitalize on it a bit. And plus, I love your garb. I really
do. We'll make you more.
Yes. I spent the entirety of last night trying to figure out my idea for my kit.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of hard without lore, but
dude,
you know, it's
Pinterest
fine.
Boards.
I
yeah,
know.
No, on serious note.
Yes, definitely.
Also, you don't necessarily... I would actually say having an idea of what you want to look like before you actually make your lore helps a lot. Because it gives you direction. We don't have wings. We can't fly. So we have to work around what we have. If that means making your garb look a certain way to help you portray your character better, I mean, that's what I do. I don't have personal lore, and I'm a lore master, basically.
To be fair, I did put wings on the back of a tunic once.
But it's a gnome who doesn't have wings.
Yeah.
Why does a gnome have wings?
So one of our good friends, Shadow Sin, he is, okay, Sir Shadow Sin, something something, General of the North, he's pretty
don't
up
use
there.
His titles, just call him Shadow.
So Shadow, also a very good personal friend of ours, has, would always talk about wanting to get a tattoo of wings on his back. And this was something that he talked about for a while, and I kept saying, well then why don't you just do it? Until one day I realized that I could put it on cloth. And so I did. And it's really beautiful. It's green with white wings. It's anatomically correct. Very detailed. Took me way too long, and I'll never admit how long. And that was...
really long.
Yeah. That was kind of what started Cut and Kill and actually put my name on the board, because it was such a high quality and caliber that people took notice.
That's cool. So could you repeat your website?
I don't have a website. I'm going to be starting a Facebook page. Cut and Kill, as in C-U-T space N space K-I-L-L. Also, find me on Facebook. Hi, my name's Kayla Mahoney. That's primarily how I get commissions, is people messaging me and saying, hey, can you make this? And I say, yes, I can.
Nice.
Story time?
Yeah, the ideas just flew out of my head.
So, Cord, tell us how Armored Penguin started.
Hotay! Let's see. Armored Penguin started as a pipe dream idea in my brain my senior year of high school. I had been assisting in running the realm Rain Dunayar, which is up in Santa Rosa. Well, was up in Santa Rosa. And it's Savage's realm, or was Savage's realm. So... I was helping with that, and I was going to come down to Dominican University, and I really wanted to fight. Honestly.
He really, really wanted to fight.
And so I decided to do something crazy and just make my own realm. And I did, and it was called the Armored Penguins, because the mascot's the penguins. It was the Armored Penguins of Dunamar, which was something in Elvish that I can't remember at the moment. And I had all these things lined up. Everything was going well. We had a lot of interest.
You made a club out of it too, right?
Not yet.
Okay.
So we had a lot of interest, and we got people fighting, so then I was like, okay, this is cool. And I made a constitution-ish, went to ASDU, got it approved by basically saying, yes, this is fighting, but we use foam sticks. I promise.
Please let us do this.
Yeah, I promise. No one's going to die.
No one's died.
Knock on everything wood. And so now, Armored Penguins is a club, and that grew, and that grew... And
how many people did you have at the first practice?
First practice, there was like one person. Second practice, there was about 45 people. That entire year, we had upwards of 10 to 15 people every single practice. It was incredible. Nobody knew what they were doing. I didn't really even know what I was doing. And we continuously ran out of weapons. Then midterms happened. Everybody left. And then second semester happened. And nobody was really
came
there.
Back.
And so it was just me and my good friend Giant, honestly beating each other up.
Giant's literally a giant, by the way.
Yes, he's basically 7 feet tall. And we just beat each other up for a while, and then orientation, Redhead showed up. And it's like,
hi.
It wasn't really Redhead at the moment, but it's like, what? Okay, fine, we'll try this out. And she took to it, and she got really, really good, really fast, and then vets started coming out from the area. Then community members came, and we had 3 students, but we had, you know, 7 people at practice every time.
Which was really cool. It got the people who were at practice were at a high enough caliber frequently that I was just getting my butt kicked every single day.
Yeah, improvement was a big thing back then, I remember. It's changed a lot now.
We're very fun-based.
No, we're very teaching-based still, but we are fun. I mean, we're monsters, which is a story in and of itself. But that's basically how the Armored Penguin started. We went from a small group, and then we grew, and now we're...
And we grew.
Yeah.
And we're still growing, quite frankly.
So Pip, why don't you tell me a story in turn? What's a monster?
So, monsters in Belagarth, correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. like monster overlordy person.
I'm just a guru.
Anyways, Cord's a very, very good monster. That's the problem. Monsters are, well, think of D&D. Think of the monsters that you'd find in D&D. Think of the monsters you'd find in Lord of the Rings. People decided that they were tired of taking everything so seriously, and that's how monsters were born. They were born to just mess around with people and have fun and not care, and it evolved and became that your garb would look a certain way. Different monsters would do different things. You would paint up using food dye and face paints. And it's evolved now so that there are 11 major monsters, as well as a lot of other monsters that are gaining a lot of traction.
And or think they are monsters.
And we're not getting into that. And so you will have a lot of monsters versus pinky battles at different events where it will be bad versus, I almost said bad versus evil, which is totally true.
Actually, no, that's probably the best way of explaining it. We're the bad, they're the evil.
I mean, it's the same as when we were at Battle for the Ring this year. There was a quote-unquote good versus evil battle. Cord was the commander of the evil side, and I would go up to people who were fighting for quote-unquote good, the pinkies as I was calling them, and I would say, well, do you want to fight for good or do you want to fight for right? And they were like,
That's right, because really the whole story behind that was my good friend Torix was trying to tag and mark monsters because we were inferior citizens, in his opinion, which of course just sparked our internal rage and power. And we ended up sweeping Battle for the Ring. Not my doing. I just have good commanders.
You have good friends. They like to kill things a lot.
Just a reminder that to the audience that you are listening to Armored Penguins on Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. Thank you guys for all those lovely stories. Those were interesting. I wasn't at Battle for the Ring, unfortunately, but
we missed you terribly.
I'll try to make it to the next Battle for the Ring.
Mowgli snored.
I mean, he generally does. You kind of just get used to it after a while.
Love you, buddy.
We had practice today, actually. 2 to 5 p.m. And we actually just came straight to the studio from practice. Yeah. So we are all still in our garb.
We are a mess. It's awesome.
Cord, do you want to talk about your kit?
Sure. That's an interesting thing.
Which one?
Which one?
Anyone you want.
Red Squad, go.
So right now, I have two kits. I have a Horde kit, which is a national unit. It's also just my normal monk-y, goblin-y, shepherd-y style kit. And then I have Red Squad. And Red Squad is my house. And we are all red fighters, and we like to fight with reds, and that's just about it. Currently, I am wearing a pair of modified wrap pants that look very similar to an Arabian style. I am wearing a vest that has a Horde skull down the back that was hand sewn on by me. I am wearing a tunic that has the start of embroidery. And all of my garb at the moment is white, black, and red. And I also have a hood, which is great.
And where'd you get your tunic and your wrap pants?
Well, Pip helped me with the wrap pants, and Pip made my tunic in 45 minutes. And I'm wearing this purple thingy that I like to call a schmug. And it is definitely not pronounced a schmug, but I think it sounds funnier. And I can do that because I am a monster. But I'm also brutal, so don't mess with me.
Because he's adorable.
That's generally the trend. Adorable, but really feisty.
I'm manly as
it's
hell.
It's called Ebel. It's the creature in the movie that's really cute and fuzzy, but actually could mess you up if they try. Ebel. I'm Ebel!
Cordobin, you know? Ebel.
So, fighting names. Generally...
Okay, so Cord, do you understand that I've had, like, 10 names in my fighting career?
You didn't let me finish.
That's right. I'm bad.
Generally, how does it come up? Because for some people, they just make it up for themselves. Some people just end up as a thing. When Belagarth first started, or Daggahir, if there's fighting names in Daggahir, how did people come up with the idea of fighting names?
I'm going to be honest. I don't know officially, but it makes sense. Think about it this way. We are dressing up in funny outfits. We have different characters. we are pretending to kill each other with foam swords. It kind of makes sense if you're going to portray a character that your character isn't going to be called Billy Joe Bob. Or maybe it is, but I'm
but
not...
that would be on purpose.
Right, exactly. So names came about because people wanted to play characters. It's the same reason D&D characters have names. There's two real big ways people come up with names. They come up with their own name, or they sit with no name long enough that the group that they're around goes, well, you know what? Man, we're just going to name you.
A really good story of that was Milena, who was an international student here. She's gone back to Argentina already, unfortunately. Was wearing a Nine Inch Nails shirt, which is Nin. And yeah. Juggy, who is a community member who's been fighting for a long time, pointed to her and said, you, Nin, get over here. And now that's her fighting name.
Well, and then we also have my good friend Merkin, who had been fighting for a while and didn't have a name. And so somebody was just like, okay, your name is Merkin now. Go look up what a Merkin is.
Oh, gosh.
Is it the same thing as, like, Fagook's name?
No. I don't know what the deal with his name is. He picked it a long time. Okay. Fagook's been fighting for a very long time.
Yeah, I can tell. I can tell very, very clearly.
Like Shadow, for example, that's one of his characters.
Shadow-san was a gaming name.
Yes.
Similar, like, for instance, my name. I've been through very many. And the reason this one stuck was twofold. One, I thought it sounded cool. And two, I literally went to Chaos with it, and so many people started knowing me as that name that I can't change it, even if I wanted to. My dad ended up there. So Cord means time in Estonian, and it's a D&D god of strength. And I knew neither of those things when my dad randomly said, hey, I read this name Cord in a book. You should call yourself that. So I did. That's where that came from.
Thanks, Dad.
Yeah, but not Rao, the other one.
All of them.
Names come about in interesting ways. I will just tell the little story about my name. So I originally wanted it to mean something like little one, just because I'm little and it was kind of...
She's so tiny.
I wanted it to mean little one so that, and obviously mean little one, so that people would get kind of thrown off when they heard my fighting name and then fought me.
Oh my gosh, she's so terrifying.
When I get
the
better.
The little thing over there.
When I get better at fighting. And I was talking to Rift about it, and he just randomly said Sapperling. But Sapperling isn't really a word to my knowledge, so I took out the R and just went with Sapling. And I was sitting on that for quite a while, and then suddenly we were hanging out in one of the dorms on one of our craft slash homework slash build nights, and we were gonna play Cards Against Humanity, and Alex just goes, what's your fighting name? Because we had a blank black card and a bunch of blank white cards, and we wanted to make a Belagarth related card for Cards Against Humanity.
We have bell cards for our Cards Against Humanity boxes now.
Yep. And so we were just gonna go with the black card being yada yada yada, and the white cards being fighting names. And Alex, or Tank, just goes Sapling, and I just was like, fine, sure, it's gonna be my fighting name now.
You actually sparked a story when you said small, tiny, terrifying fighter. Three Battle for the Rings ago, maybe more, there was this Amtgarder named Scarab, and she's this small, fantastic fighter who was using this tiny little punch shield and this tiny little sword. She walks up, and this guy with a red was like, I'm gonna smash you, and she just looked at him, smiled, and murdered him, and then went on to murder everybody. And I just stood there in sheer shock, because usually when you see a fighter in bad garb, or a small fighter, you don't assume they're good. I'm a small fighter. People don't assume I'm good. At this point, I'm pretty okay. She literally just lit up the field. And that's the thing. You can completely be tiny and be completely murderous. Alexei in God Squad, he's not a tall man. He's an ex-Olympic fencer and can utterly destroy you. At least I think he's an ex-Olympic fencer.
It makes sense.
He punch blocks, glaive strikes like they're nothing with a bare hand. But he's like 5'4". Excuse my usage of verbal crutches.
Yeah.
Dang, business degree.
I used to do Taekwondo, and that was when I was a tiny 10-year-old. And I used to go to Taekwondo tournaments. And one of my favorite things was going into the sparring matches and fighting against people who were, one, guys, two, much bigger than I was, and, like, not just in height, but in build. And just kind of looking them at 10 years old and them being much older than I was. And I've kind of, it's a good feeling to me, just because I don't generally think that I can be a kick butt kind of person.
Hey, Cece, you kind of kick butt.
Thank you, Pip.
Yeah, you're getting pretty good, little one.
Well, no, I mean, not just fighting. I mean, in general. Good job.
Oh.
Okay. I'm more
Ford's getting murdered later.
I'm going to get murdered later. It's okay. That's what happens when you're a evil, tiny fey thing. She's evil, guys. Lock your doors and windows. The fey's coming for your face.
Not your face, generally, but probably your soul. But
By the way, Faye, we love you.
Oh, yeah, that's right, if you're listening.
Faye is another fighter, just to clarify for you people. What realm is she part of?
She's now out in Pennsylvania, and I don't actually believe she is part of a realm, but I don't know.
She's hitting things. I know she's hitting things.
I know she's hitting things. She's going to a lot of events, which is great. She used to live out in San Diego.
Nice. Pretty cool. A lot of fighters move out, right?
There's fighters. I mean, saying fighters move out is like we're mobile people for the most part. The nice thing is that this is a international organization. Fun fact, there are 215 realms across all 50 states, as well as Spain, Italy, Germany,
New Zealand,
Hawaii. Alaska has a realm.
I guess both Hawaii and
Doesn't
Alaska
China
are
have
part
a realm?
Of 50 states. I don't know.
Okay.
But 215, last time I did my project, 215. But yeah, there's a lot of realms.
Project?
I did a presentation for business and communications on Belagirth, and the statistic then was 215. There's probably more by now. But if you want to get into Belagirth or Dagahir or one of the other variants of foam fighting, go find it. It's out there. They're waiting for you.
FYI, there are more hardcore versions of medieval fighting like SCA and HEMA.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Do you want me to explain?
Go ahead.
So saying it's more hardcore for HEMA is 100% accurate. Saying it's more hardcore for the SCA is 90% more accurate. So the SCA and HEMA both have full armor. The SCA and HEMA both allow headshots. HEMA, you can drop kick someone in the head. In SCA, you can. The SCA is very similar mechanically to Belagirth, except if you raise the hitbox up so that the head and the shoulders and the neck are a target, but the knees below are not.
Hey, Cord. What does SCA stand for?
Right. SCA is Society of Creative Anachronisms. And to be honest, I don't know what HEMA stands for.
Neither do I. It's okay.
Anachronism?
Yeah. So the Society for Creative Anachronisms, which I think basically means portraying stuff that you are not.
Yes. It is for people who, when they go to an event, want to feel as if they stepped through a time warp and went back to medieval times.
Let's do the time warp again.
Yeah, you knew that was going to happen.
Yep, that generally happens with Armored Penguins, random sing-along
there is a
karaoke.
There's a video on Instagram of someone with a ukulele and people singing in a circle and everyone else who's fighting on the field being like, what is going on?
What would be funny is if you randomly just started singing while you were fighting on the field.
Asher
does.
Callus, excuse me.
Yep.
Well, no, his fighting name is Asher.
No, it is not. He
it's
specifically
not
asked.
Okay. Callus, he actually, fun fact, he synced to keep tempo with his body because he doesn't have a very good internal metronome.
That's an interesting way to keep in time with your body.
It helps with his footwork. It's interesting.
It works for him.
That's the important part.
I can see that. He's a very loud character on the field. It's fun to watch.
Hey guys, come hit me! Come hit me! Look! Over here! Over here! Hey, listen!
Yeah, fun to watch. Not necessarily always fun to be against,
yeah.
In my opinion. Sometimes I have problems with sensory overload. So events can be really overwhelming sometimes. Sometimes even practices can get overwhelming.
When shouting in people's faces is a tactic you can use, it's not a nice tactic all the time, but it's a thing that happens, so...
Yeah.
I mean, when you get really big shield lines pressed together at, like, DAG events, there are monsters that'll go start munching on people's shields. It's a thing.
Literally.
I've never done it
on purpose. You should try.
I've never done it on purpose. I've taken shields to the face, and my mouth has been like, ah...
Just a reminder that you are listening to Armored Penguins on Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. We'll be checking out for a break and we'll be back shortly. When you're on a holiday, you can't find the words to say. All the things that come to you, and I want to feel. Welcome back to the show. This is Armored Penguins on Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. So before I cut out for break, I was actually going to make a reference back to Callus, who is the really loud fighter.
He's super nice.
He is nice. He is very nice. And
he can be kind of scary.
Yes. He's a very interesting fighter. Not in a bad way. In a good way. He's very flowy.
The thing with Callus is his movement is so bizarre and only works for him. And because of that, he's able to catch most people so incredibly off guard that he's very, very effective. He also takes this game sport very seriously. So he's very big on training and getting better and pushing himself, by association, pushing those around him.
Yeah. But to make my point that he's a actually very nice fighter, there was one time at practice where he was kind of yelling and being very loud, and it was kind of at my direction. And after I died and walked off the field, he just came to me. He's like, "Are you okay? Is it okay for me to do that?" And I was just like, "Yeah, you're cool." So it's nice to have fighters who kind of check in and just be like, "Is this thing okay?" And kind of just be aware of how certain people around them aren't necessarily okay with yelling in your face kind of thing.
Yeah. One of the really big things that's really cool about Belgarth is that, yes, we all kill each other on a field. That's a thing that we like to do. But we're also really, we keep an eye on the people around us. We make sure people are okay. And if they're not, we help them, and we help them get better. And it's a very community-based sport.
Yeah, definitely. That was one of the things that really got me, really fell in love with Armored Penguins. And
you're hooked.
Yeah, definitely. I'm not leaving anytime soon. I don't want to.
That's what we're looking for.
It's fun being here. Cy and I, two shows ago, we just had a very long conversation about how much this really means to us, especially since we both previously had to deal with people who kind of just forgot about us. Like, last year, we had friends who just didn't care and forgot about us, and sometimes in a really bad way, left us at parties or something like that. So coming to a place where people actually do come up and check on you and make sure you're okay is great, and not forget about you.
Honestly, that's what we do. It's something you'll find throughout the Belgarth community. There's a lot of, you know, salt on the internet, but in reality, all of us care so much about each other. I mean, we don't want our toys to break. We don't want our friends to get hurt. If someone's feeling uncomfortable, we will flock in armies to defend them. I mean, that's really what makes us so special, is the fact that I have friends all over the United States now that if I needed something, if I really truly needed something, they'd be there. And that is a feeling that doesn't come from anything else, I don't think.
Yeah, it's really cool to say. Because at first, my family would be like, "Yeah, you're doing this thing." And now it's more of the, "I am going out to visit Boise in May, and I have a place to stay, and I have people who are desperately excited to see me again, and I'm super excited to see them." And all I had to do was make one phone call and be like, "Hey, can I crash at your place?" And they were like, "Yes, definitely. Let us know what you need."
And I mean, you can see that in a lot of ways. You have friends, you have units, you have houses. There's so many ways of dictating who's your family and who's not, but in reality, if you swing a foam stick and need help, we'll probably help you.
We'll find a way.
It's pretty much a no-brainer at this point.
Yeah, definitely. And even as a new who doesn't really know anyone else on very close terms outside of my realm, it was
One of us.
It was great going to Fool's Raid and having Marrow.
Mr. Lambert.
It was great having those certain people outside of the realm remember who I am, like Dorian. But Dorian and I we got on good foot the first time he came over.
Yeah, sometimes you meet people and you're just like, yes, this will be one of my new best friends. that's happened a couple times to me. And then there's other people where it takes you like 3 or 4 or 5 times to actually meet them. Yeah. For example, I still have never met Doku.
That's because Doku's in Japan, but I mean, Doku's great. We're talking about a friend of mine and a fellow housemate of ours, Blackwater. Doku is a bugbear who is in the Marines, I believe, and he is now in Japan, and so we don't see him until he comes back, but he's still our brother. We still love him. He's still going to be back eventually, so hurry up, Doku. I'm calling you out.
Just a funny story having to do with Marrow at Fool's Raid. You know, it's an event where a lot of people are 21 or 21 and older, and Marrow is a little, he's happy. And he comes rambling over to the bathroom stalls, and we're just all hanging out there because,
oh gosh,
It's a funny story.
Oh, I know,
what would you do with a drunken Marrow? What would you do with a drunken Marrow?
we're all just hanging out, and at some point while Mero is hanging out with us, Steffi and I get into this very long, drawn-out sort of argument about a thing that happened on Valentine's Day, and it just ended in a very funny note. And after the argument ended, Mero just goes, "I have met you before, and every time I have seen you, you do not talk. I like this version of you." And it made my night. It really did.
So, you ready for a story about people who don't talk?
Oh, yeah.
Julix. Hi, Julix. Julix is very shy. Used to be. He's not anymore, which is awesome to see. But it used to be, "Hi, I'm Pip. I'm a pretty girl." And sometimes guys get, "Oh, gosh, I want to talk to the pretty girl.
Oh, my God, what am I going to do? It's a kobold."
But Julix exceptionally, and so he'd kind of get awkward around me when I'd try and talk to him, and I just sort of let him be like, whatever. So whenever I'd see him at an event, I would, when the sun started to set and people started to get into their feast gear and started to break out the alcohol, I'd walk up to Julix after a short bit of time and be like, "Hey, Julix, you drunk enough to talk to me yet?" And he'd be like, "Yes, I am." And we'd just have these awesome conversations about the most random things. And they'd involve at least one British impression, because he is British and can do an actual British accent. And it would be amazing, because I'd joke about it with him in the morning. He'd be like, whatever. But then every single night, "Hey, Julix, you drunk? Can I talk to you now?" And he's like, yes, you can. And it was amazing.
Yeah, so, Fool's Raid. I walked away from that feeling kind of iffy about it, mostly because, first camping event.
They're intimidating.
Yep, pretty shy as is, and can get easily sensory overload, especially around people who tend to be kind of loud.
So all of Belagarth.
Especially Sith Camp, because we were right next to them. Mowgli freaked out for quite a bit, because we were eating dinner and we were trying to wash our plates because they were plastic and not disposable plates, and there was no soap in the bathrooms.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You know, grease doesn't wash off unless you have soap. And I got grease all over my hands, and it felt icky. And one of the girls in the bathrooms that I ran into, her name is Mia. She's Germania Camp.
Yeah, Germania.
She offered to give me some baby wipes to.
Aww.
Yeah. But we had to walk through Sith Camp to get to her camp to get them.
Oh, sweetie.
And when I came back, Mowgli recently told me that he was really worried and kept looking over every, 10 seconds just to make sure that I was okay, even though he couldn't really see me. And I was just...
It was pitch black.
Yeah, he was worried.
It was your first event.
Yeah, and it was walking through Sith Camp. They seem pretty...
They're super nice.
Yeah, they're super nice.
Yeah, they were fine.
They're very loud.
Pretty sure they didn't notice me, so I'm good.
Yeah, you have sneak powers.
Here's the important question. Would you go back to an event?
Most definitely.
Well,
there you go.
It's a learning experience.
Yeah. Events are interesting because for a person who is first experiencing them, the order and the what happens throughout the day isn't readily apparent. There's a very clear, if Mateo and I went to an event out east, or another event we'd never been to, we would be fine. We've been to a lot of events, we know how they work. We know that weapons check happens in the morning, we know that field fights happen, tournaments will probably be during the hottest part of the day, at some point feast happens, but to someone who's new, they're gonna be like, what do I do?
Also, stepping on the field for the first time at an event can be incredibly intimidating. Because, especially for a new fighter who's a smaller fighter, you're walking on a field where you don't know anybody, you don't know how good anybody is, you've seen vets just murder everybody, but then you get steamrolled by someone that you think isn't very good. And that can be really, really discouraging. But the most important thing is, no, wait a second. You're at a place where people traveled and paid money to go to do this. And if this is your first time... Yeah, basically. If this is your first time, it's okay to suck. Because if you suck then you'll not suck as much next time. It's when you get frustrated that you're not doing well, and so you walk off the field because grumble, 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 that you will never get any better. So it's okay to lose. Just have fun with doing it.
one of the first questions we ask people when they're like, man, I'm doing horribly, like, especially if they're new, is you say, well, how many times have you died today? And they'll be like, isn't that counterintuitive? And then we say, no. If you're dying, that means that you're actually on the field, you're actually engaging people, and I mean, yeah, you're not gonna win them, but did you take an arm? Did you take a leg? Did you block an arrow for that spearman that went and killed 12 people?
Thank you, I don't like bloody noses.
Yeah, that's the things, especially when you're starting out, that you should focus on, because it's, hey, I'm on the field, I'm doing something. The killing part can come in a little bit. Yeah.
Ultimately, I kind of tried to see this event kind of like a day event.
Yeah.
Because I've been to so many that I've kind of getting used to seeing strangers for the first time. So it wasn't so much as me not doing well. It was just, I don't know. It was a weird weekend.
I might actually be able to explain that a little bit. So for Fool's Raid, I was the head herald, which means it was my job to run the field and make sure the fighters were having a good time. Which I hope everybody had a good time.
We did.
Solid. So, basically, it was really hot in sun power. It wasn't that hot temperature-wise, but the sun was really powerful, and that drains fighters. Dang. But because it wasn't super hot and a little windy, people weren't drinking enough water. So that makes everything a little bit more heated. We actually had a lot of people at this event for a first-time campout, and we had about 80 people on the field. When you have that many people on the field, it's very, very possible to get steamrolled. It's why field awareness, understanding who your opponents are, quick analytics, I think is the word to use, is very important. Which is probably why you're tired still, why you got beat up. But honestly, at colder events, or even at hotter events, if you kind of understand the idea, fight for 4 rounds, get a drink of water, go back. Fight for 4, you know, pour some water on your head, have fun. The point is hydration, because hail dehydration is terrible. So don't, you know.
Don't do it.
Don't get dehydrated. We had a very, very unfortunate thing happen at Ragnarok this year, and I hope to God it doesn't happen again, ever. Dehydration is not a joke, by any means.
It really isn't, and I have to remind Mowgli all the time to drink water, because he doesn't. I'm calling you out again, because you really need to drink water.
Everyone
and because she loves you.
Yes, that too.
We call you out because we care.
Very much so. So we're talking about all these events. What are some upcoming events?
The next upcoming event in the Bay Area, so within about 50 to 100 miles of San Francisco, will be Silica Vale, which will be happening May 21st-ish. It's that weekend. It's a Friday, Saturday, Sunday event. It will be in Milpitas. It will be hosted by Malenrod, which is a Dagahir realm.
The Battle of Shamesh.
Yes. The themed battle for it will be Merrick, who is our very good friend Kathleen, is a raider who is trying to plunder the temple of... What is it?
Kaya is the Shamesh? Priestess is that of the... Shamesh, I believe. She's pretty great, too.
Yeah.
Shout out to both her and Kale, because you guys should be listening, yo.
But she is the priestess who's defending it, and so they're going to have a battle that will simulate raiding a temple. And Merrick has forces that she has acquired. Kaya has forces that she has acquired. It's going to be this all-out war. And, you know, we'll also have some ditch and tourneys and et cetera.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest. The thing about theme battles is it gives people a reason to go to the event.
Yeah.
The majority of Belagrim, and I say that specifically because Dagahir is different, just want ditch fights, which is just let's go swing
but
our stakes
like
at foam.
But I like scenario battles.
That's why I said the majority and not everyone.
Anyways, but it's gonna be really fun. I would really advise it for people who want to go hit something in the area. Outside the area, Western Wars is coming up, which is the week before that. It's the weekend
May
of the 16th.
14th through 16th.
Yes.
You should go.
Unless you're graduating.
I want to go to Western Wars.
But Western Wars is up in Oregon. It's really cool. It's a camp out. Some awesome people are going to be there. It's going to be fun. Yeah, you should go to that if you can. But Silica Vale, awesome nightlife. 10 out of 10 would go again.
I'm going to go again. Just go, guys. Just seriously. And hey, Blitz, because I know you're listening. If you don't show up, Tink's going to kill you.
Literally.
Just know that. So please come.
he does not mean literally. We are okay, foam fighters.
We mean literally with foam.
Foam. Not actually killing. So, yeah. There's also Chaos Wars.
But that's the next national event coming up.
Yes.
And this is Cord who should answer.
Okay,
this.
So if I don't go to Chaos Wars this year, which would be sad, this would be the first I've missed in 4 years. This would be my fifth Chaos Wars. Wow, I'm old. Chaos Wars is a 7-day event in Idaho where people from all over the United States gather for this truly fantastic, immense, ridiculous immersion where you fight for 9 hours, you know, all day, and then you have a great time all evening, and you wake up and do it again for 7 days. Awesome.
You cannot go for 7 days like the one over here. You will probably be going for 4.
Oh, that's true. You can absolutely. I mean, if I actually go this year, I'll probably only go for 2. But that's sad, and I don't like that. It's a great way to spend time with your friends. It's not all about the fighting. There's a ton of classes. There's a ton of teaching. Really, more than anything, in my opinion, maybe it's just because I'm a marketing major, but it's the best networking event on the West Coast.
Some people go to Coachella, some people go to Chaos Wars.
Hey, that's a good one. I like that. Good job.
Yeah, I somehow convinced my family to let me go to Chaos Wars.
Really have to go.
Yeah, you do. It'll be my first. So, I mean, it'd be great to have you there. Please, it's kind of...
I'm trying.
Kind of like a blessing.
We're trying.
I know.
Well, we'll just send other people to take care of you. It'll be cool.
I mean, I'm going with Mowgli, so...
But there's so many people we know out there.
Hey, Silo, you're going to meet Sapling and take care of her. Much love, buddy.
Kind of just need to figure out situations as well as, you know, money.
How to get there. That's first important thing. How to get there.
Yeah, it's one heck of a drive.
It is, and I don't drive, and I looked it up. It's 15 hours, and I don't know how that's going to happen.
I've done it for 8 times. Don't worry about it. Truly, don't worry about it. You get there.
Yeah, we get there.
Yeah.
I just really do not like driving. It stresses me out to the max.
Yeah. Hi, me too. I actually will probably, if I do make it to this Chaos Wars, I'll be going with friends who have a stick shift, and they're teaching me to drive the stick shift for this eventuality, and it's my fun, I guess, maybe a little.
I am so sorry for you.
I want to learn to drive anyways, or stick shifts specifically. Yeah. But
same here, just not right now.
The first step to any event, get there.
Get there. But at least I know I can possibly go if I can figure out all that stuff, which shouldn't be too much.
It shouldn't be difficult, I promise you. It's honestly not as hard as people think. I've done it a whole ton of times with limited resources. On a serious note, guys, just go to Chaos Wars.
Isn't there a group named I'm Going to Chaos Wars and You Should Too on Facebook?
There's a group named Californians Going to Chaos Wars. There's probably a group named Iowans Going to Chaos Wars. There's a group named I'm Going to Chaos Wars, You Should Too. There's also Chaos Wars official site. Chaos Wars is just, I mean, at this point, to be honest, Chaos Wars and Battle for the Ring both are brands. And they're awesome, fantastic, wonderful brands.
Marketing major? No.
Activate.
He's a marketing major. I'm a graphic design major. We're not going into branding. Oh. But yeah, Chaos Wars is awesome. Battle for the Ring is the other national event that is near us, and by near I mean 6 hours south. That's in January. It's really fun. We got back from that. We used to only have, 4 armored penguins who would go to Battle for the Ring. This year we had something like 10, which was super awesome. And then there's like, 6 events you can hit through the Bay Area throughout the year. I did the math. It was fun.
Yes, and this is not including all the day events that will somehow pop up at some point. They just do. I remember a couple months back, there were day events after day events. Yeah.
Every weekend had an event.
Yeah. It was fun because I got to go to a couple of them.
Mm-hmm.
So, get my fighting in.
But as a comment, because we did talk about Chaos Wars, I'd like to talk about Battle for the Ring a little bit more.
Yes.
So, Battle for the Ring is a big event in LA, down
weekend
in Chino
event.
Hills. It's a weekend. It's usually Martin Luther King weekend. It's a 4-day weekend. honestly, at this point, you are not going to find more fighters in one area anywhere west of the Mississippi. We hit almost 700 people this year. It is an incredible event, and I highly advise that everybody who's listening goes at least once, and then you'll realize why you should go again and again and again. The other thing is it's shorter, so it's easier on the work schedule and all getting time off and stuff.
If this is your first time hearing about Bellegarth, maybe, you know, go to a practice first.
Yes, we hold practices every Friday from 2 to 5 p.m. and every Sunday from 12 to 5 p.m. out on the library lawn on the corner of Magnolia and Palm. Thank you so much. I think that's all we have for the show today. Thank you, Pip, and thank you, Cord, for being my guest. It's been a really fun time. You guys have been very entertaining.
Thank you so very much for having us.
If I could do this forever, I would totally have you guys come.
Oh my gosh, we would just tell story after story.
On all seriousness, we should have a monster story day where I just get to tell stories.
No, I want to come too. We'll tell stories about bounce tests and how goblins need to cover their elbows.
Kobolds can, just very simply put, kobolds can bounce. Don't look at goblins' elbows and knees. Done.
And we can tell stories about what happens when bugbears get angry and
run.
Well, you know what? I have one more show. That is Thursday. Next Thursday. That is April 14th.
April 14th. That's when Acorn and Roka are coming down.
Oh, yes. Part 2 of House Valkyrie Weekend. The first part was Bokhtar and Cypress, and I talked about that last night, and the show before that as well with Sai. And
next up, Acorn and Roka are coming down to say hi and swing sticks and make us better.
Yes, it shall be very, very fun, and I'm excited to learn more and see more House Valkyries people, because I'm not sure I've seen many.
Yeah.
So tune in for my last show, April 14th at 6 to 7 p.m. This has been a very fun time. Just a reminder that you were listening to Armored Penguins on Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.org.